We want to extend a Christian greeting to each one here this morning, and a welcome to everyone that is here. It is a blessing that we have again to be here in God's house, to again look into God's Word and see what He has for us. And I would request your prayers as I go through this message. This morning, I felt led again to speak out of the, take a portion out of the book of James, and preach from that this morning. Let's turn to James chapter 1. As I was seeking God's face and what to bring this morning, I had an experience on Friday that I want to share with you. My wife and I like to go on a walk every day if we can, and this on Friday was a day when we couldn't go together, so we had to go separately. And I was blessed, and this is where most of this message was born, is when I was gone for about 45 minutes to an hour, and in just communing with God, and he brought this message to my heart then, and it would be nice if we could kind of hit a save button when we go through that and then bring it up again when we get back home. But with God's help, I want to share what He has laid on my heart this morning. Let's start reading in verse 12. We'll overlap just a little bit here from the last passage, and we'll read to verse 18. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." And I've entitled the message this morning, Temptation, There is Victory. Our last, the first portion of James here, we spoke on trials, and I think trials and temptations are closely connected. However, as we think of temptations, I think God allows them to happen, but temptations primarily come from the devil, Satan. Whereas we can see that in verse 13, "Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man." We want to look at several aspects this morning on temptation, and as well as look at some examples that are in Scripture of those that face temptations and how they dealt with it and what the outcome was on the different examples that we want to bring out. What is temptation? I think it is the Bible Dictionary gave it as a time of testing. It's an enticement to do wrong. I would like to use the illustration of a fisherman this morning. I don't know how many are in here that like to fish, but we realize that if we, I think we all know that if we want to go fishing, we have to get our tackle together, we get our poles, and we go out to the water. We first need to decide what we are going to be fishing for, because that's going to be, that's going to depend on what kind of bait we're going to be using. You won't use the same bait for bass as you would for a bluegill. So we decide what we're fishing for. We decide what the fish, what this particular fish likes, what are its habitats, what's the environment that he lives in, and then the fisherman tries to use the bait that accordingly, something that will grab this fish's attention, that will rouse his desire and lure the fish into, taking that bite. A lot of the artificial lures, you know, is made with hair or feathers, and it hides the, it's supposed to hide the hook. And then you cast this in the water, and a fish sees this, and he just, you know, he thinks, wow, this looks really good. It looks juicy, and I need to get this now. I can't resist it, and then bam. Then what does this bring to the fish? Satisfaction? Most of the time, it's not. It brings death. And this morning, I think the devil is also a great, he's also skilled at fishing. Not for fish, though. He is out fishing for people. He's out looking for you and I, and anyone that he can find that will nibble at his lure, he's going to cast that line. He doesn't care who we are this morning. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care how old we are. What are you going to do about that bait, that lure that he wants to dangle in front of you? You have a choice to make. And we want to look at some of those this morning. We notice also in verse 13 here that it doesn't really say if we're tempted. It's when we're tempted. I think we all face temptation. Not one of us is excluded. It's a certainty. But I think we also need to understand that when we do get tempted, we must understand the author and purpose of the temptation. The devil knows each one of us, and his desire is not to only frustrate our lives, but he wants to destroy us. He's out to destroy. He's out to kill. In 1 Peter 5:8, there's a verse that says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." How does he do that? I think like the fisherman, he studies the person. He knows where our weak points are, and that's when he dangles that lure, if you would, in front of us. I think temptation is something that we face on a daily basis. What are you going to do with that temptation when you face it? I think we must also remember that the temptation is a tool of Satan against our lives. Satan is the great tempter. He is the one who tempts us in order to get us to stumble and fall. He is the one who tempts us and causes us to compromise our testimonies as believers. And then in turn, we embarrass the name of Jesus. Temptation is an ongoing battle of evil within our own lives. Someone has said this about temptation, that every temptation is an opportunity to do good. And in other words, when we as believers are tempted, we have the option of overcoming that temptation. We have the option of making that decision and to overcome it. Or we have the option of making the decision and yielding to that temptation, which will lead to sin, which is sin after we yield. While Satan is using temptation as a weapon of mass destruction in our lives, God is using temptation in an order to strengthen us. He is building character. If we overcome the temptation that we're facing and we go to him, we ask him for help, he will help us. And with each step, with each temptation that we overcome, we get strength for the next one. Character is developed this way. But it involves a choice that we make. God's word also teaches us that every time we overcome and defeat the devil and defeat the temptation, we become more and more like Jesus. And who in here doesn't want to be more like Jesus this morning? So let's remember the next time that we are tempted to go to a place we shouldn't go, to do something that we know we shouldn't do, responding in a way that we know we shouldn't. Let's remember that. But every time we overcome the temptation that we're facing, it will we can be more like Christ. We may think nobody sees us, but let's not fool ourselves in thinking that, because God sees everything that we do. Let's not forget to look up. I also want to look at Genesis chapter 3 this morning, where we read of the account of Eve, where the devil tempted her and where she fell, or she yielded to that temptation. Genesis chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse 13. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. This is where it all began. Today we want to try and learn from the mistakes that Adam and Eve did here, in an effort to understand how the devil uses temptation in order to get us to trip and fall. I broke this down in five steps. I think often when we face temptations, and there's a five-step process that takes place. And some of these you could put first. I put disobedience first, the step of disobedience. We might think that disobedience, we're not involved with that. None of us likes to think ourselves as being disobedient. None of us likes to think ourselves as being a defiant child of God, ignoring God and living our own lives, doing our own things, missing His warnings, but we too often do. The truth of the matter is that each of us has been born with a disobedient, rebellious spirit and nature toward God and all that is good. We don't have to teach our children, when they're quite small yet, to say no, or how to disobey his or her parents. It's natural. It comes natural to them. But what we learn here in what we read here in Genesis is that Satan is a lying, tempting serpent that is talking to Eve here. Where was Eve when the serpent came to her? Obviously, she was close to the tree. As we can see here, that when the serpent came to her, that she reached out and took of the fruit. Why was she close to that tree at that time? Was she questioning, why is God telling us not to eat of that tree? Why can't I have some of that good fruit that's on there? I just can't understand what God is up to when he says or tells me to stay away from that one tree. And then Satan appears on the scene with a serpent. And that's when he starts tempting her and asking her some questions. Hath God said? Did God really say that? When we deliberately put ourselves in situations where we know we have a struggle with, we are setting ourselves up for, we are allowing his temptation strategy to be effective in our lives. When we go to certain places or hang around with certain people or engage in a variety of different activities that we know is a detriment to our Christian life and that are prone to godly disobedience, again, we have set ourselves up to be tempted, lured away, and our witness and testimony for Christ being destroyed. It all begins with a simple disobedience. It might not seem very large. It might seem like a very small thing. Here, Eve, she had perfect communication with God. She walked with God in the garden. Could she fall? Surely not Eve, but yet she did. The second step here that I have is the step of desire. The serpent here identified a desire in Eve. The tree, the fruit of the tree, knowledge, control over her own life. Although Satan is not all-knowing, however, he knows the desires of our life. And he can easily identify those desires within us. It may be a sinful desire within you that you have. Desire to get revenge. Or the desire to control. Temptation follows our own natural desires of disobedience. And he simply whispers in our ear or places in our minds harmless little thought that makes you consider the possibilities of giving in to an evil desire or to fulfill a legitimate desire in a sinful, disobedient way. That is the devil's tactic. Satan is still whispering to people today and asking them, come on now, you deserve this. You're depriving yourself of this. You should have it now. It will be fun. It will make you feel better. It will make you happy. No one will ever have to know. Where does that temptation begin? I think it begins inside our heart when we start doubting, when we start listening to those promptings. In Mark 7, verse 21 and 20 through 23, it says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Satan's temptation strategy are still at work today, and they are very evident. The third step here is the step of doubt. Notice how Satan's subtle strategy to Eve was to doubt God's truth, to doubt God's words. And he's still doing the same thing in our lives today. He wants us to doubt that God's word is really true. Is it really for us today? Is it really for the 21st century? Did God really say that you will die? Does God really mean you when he talked and said we should not do these things? In Eve, there was a moment of doubt about what God had said, there was that brief moment that maybe she was exempt from obeying God's word. And that for her, there would be no consequences for disobeying. For just a moment, she doubted God. But we can see what happened. In Hebrews 3:12, it says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let's not even let our thoughts or our actions make any of us turn from the true living God. Then the fourth step here, the step of deception. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says of Satan that he is a liar and the father of all lies. There is no truth in Satan. So why do we so quickly believe his lies when he comes with temptations, when he comes with his bait, you might say? When he tells you or plans your mind, it always has a hint of truth to it. But the end is perverted. It's immoral and sinful. In us as believers, in our hearts and minds, we can read what God's word says about the certain decision or situation. What Satan does is replaces that and what you read in God's word with an all-out lie. God gave a very clear command in 2:17 in Genesis here, that you will surely die. I'll just read the whole verse. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." A very clear command that God gave to Adam and Eve here. Satan's response to even reference to God's command is, "No, you shall not surely die." Surely, you don't believe that. I mean, once you eat of this tree, it's going to make you wise. You can get away with it. No one will ever know. It's going to solve all your problems. Just try it once. After all, it's not hurting anyone if we do that. If you take a bite, then we'll give it to Adam, and Adam will... He will take of it also. And we see that's exactly what happened. Is Satan deceiving you today? He might be coming with thoughts that, "Don't worry, you can quit any time that you want if you start this. You won't get addicted. Just try it once. You will not surely die. Everyone else is doing it, so why can't I do it? It must be okay if I do it too." Is there anyone in here this morning that is entertaining such thoughts? Let's listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God this morning. And rather than listening to the lies that Satan is wanting to bring to us, if we get those thoughts, let's attack it with God's word and not forget the truth of his word and what he says there. Okay, first we had disobedience, then we had desire, then it was doubt, then deception, and the fifth step here is the step of destruction. The devil here caused Eve to doubt the absolute truth of God's word. He had her deceived into thinking that she would be the number one exception and that she didn't need God. Now she falls. She reaches up, gets the fruit, and falls. And we also want to understand this morning is that temptation is not sin in itself. When I was growing up, I always looked at temptation as something that you get over when you get older. But temptation is not sin in itself. It's when you yield to that temptation is when that's when sin begins. And so if you're tempted with something, you have the choice to make at that point, to not do it. However, when we choose to fall prey and to give into that temptation, that is where sin begins, comes in. That is how sin came into this world in the beginning. The account that we just read there in Genesis. In Genesis 3:17, we can see here God's curse to Adam. But let's especially pay attention to the last part here. I'm going to read three verses here in Genesis 3, verse 17 through 19. It says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." And as we look at the last part here in verse 19, it's death. And on account of all that, the fall of man, we all experience death now. Also in Romans 5, in verse 12, "Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin," I think we can also, I think Satan is very predictable. I think we can look at how he did here, and how he approached Eve, and the steps that he went through to her is still the same way he's doing today. His pattern and strategy for tempting us has not changed since the scene here at the Garden of Eden. Let's look at a few examples now. I know there are many that we could possibly look at, but I just chose a few here. Let's turn to the book of Joshua briefly. Joshua chapter 7. We here have the account of Achan, which is a account that we are familiar with. I just want to bring it to the attention again of what he did here and the steps that he took that brought him to death and the gruesome ending that his family experienced there. In verse 21, we'll read a few verses here. "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Let's see this. Let's just consider the steps here. He first saw it. He saw these items. And then he coveted them. He wished he could have them. And then he took them. And then what did he do with them after that? He hid them so nobody would know. But somebody did know. God saw what he did. And if we go down into verse 25, And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. A very gruesome death that was. That's what sin does. Sin will bring death to us if we don't repent. The account of Joseph in Genesis 39, we won't turn to that this morning, but I think we all know the account where his master's wife tried to tempt him. What did he do? It says he fled and got him out. I just ask this question this morning to each one of us. How many Josephs do we have here this morning that if we face a temptation, are we ready to run? Do we flee that temptation? Or do we dabble in it? Do we dabble in that temptation and think we can handle it? And then in Matthew chapter 4, let's turn to that. There we have the account of when Jesus was tempted on three different occasions. I don't think we'll read the account this morning. But what did Jesus use here in each of these accounts when he was tempted? In verse 4, it says, It is written. In verse 7, again, it says, It is written. And then also in verse 10, It is written. He uses God's word and is able to stand and not fall to that temptation. God's word works for us today too. He will, if we go to God's word, if we go to Him, we will experience victory. Paul talking to believers here in Corinth, we have a very comforting verse there. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You may be able to bear the temptation. Will you be tempted? Yes, we all will be tempted. But the question is, what will you do with that temptation? Will you resist that temptation that the devil puts in front of you? Today there might be some sinful habit that the devil has us chained with, that he just has us gripped with it. And I'm here to tell you this morning, there's hope. There is freedom from that. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have this promise, God will forgive us, as we heard this morning. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So how can we deal with temptation? What are some steps that we can take to resist temptation? Let's go to James again and read verses 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I think the first thing that we can do is we can dwell on that which is good. Think on that. Think on those things which come from God. In Philippians 4, There's a scripture, one verse there I want to read. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We have a whole list here that of things that we can think on that will be a tremendous help in overcoming temptation. Let's do what the Word of God says when temptation comes. Let's do what Jesus did. Let's face it. Let's tackle that temptation with the Word of God, with His help. We don't want to do it alone, but with His help we can overcome. And also as Joseph, there in Genesis, he ran from it. Let's not try to play with it and try to stand against it in our own strength, because we can't. That is, we have to have God's help to overcome. Apart from God, we can do nothing. Apart from Him, we cannot experience true victory. And I'm here to tell you this morning that true victory is possible, but it takes His strength, it takes His power. And also detour past temptation. If you know that temptation is just around the corner from where you're at, don't continue around that corner. Go around the other corner. Go around the other way. With God's help, you can do that. Don't traffic where you know you will be tempted. And one thing, one area I had to think of here is even, on our computers, they're an awesome tool, but they're an awesome tool for the devil too. So let's be careful, as when we use them, that we don't go to places that we that won't help us to overcome the temptation. But God is there to help us if we truly and sincerely want to overcome. It means taking personal responsibility. Satan doesn't want us to mature. He doesn't want us to follow God's will. He's out there trying to get us to do otherwise. If we continue to give in to temptations, we will never be the kind of Christian God wants us to be. What God wants for you this morning is to experience victory and true victory. God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Is there something you do not have and you find yourself wanting it, or you have a lust for it? Is there something you think you want and you need, but you don't have it? You might be tempted to think that God is withholding something from you. But let's remember that all good gifts God gives to His people. And also in I think it's in verse 17. I lost my place here in James. It says where God does not change. There's no variableness, no shadow of turning. He is unchanging. James uses the illustration of a shifting shadow. If you go out in the morning on a sunny day and you look at your shadow, you go out in the afternoon again, you stand in the same place. The shadow has shifted, as well as in the evening. It has shifted some more. It has to do with the position of the sun. The sun is always the same place. So what are some ways that... just a few more scripture verses here about resisting temptation. First, we want to recognize that who it's from. They're from the devil, the temptations are, and God is there to help us when we face that. Romans 6, we have a couple verses there. We want to first remember who we are in Christ Jesus as Christians here this morning. Chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's not make ourselves a slave of sin, but let's make ourselves slaves of him, slaves of Christ. In verse 11 in chapter 6 through 13, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but ye yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And let's remember that if we do find ourselves being tempted, God will provide a way out. Again, I want to read this scripture verse here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can stand up under it. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then again in the verse here in chapter 1, in James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And who of us in here doesn't want to have that crown of life at the end of our life? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we pause before you this morning, we are so thankful to you for blessing us again and for allowing us to be gathered in this way. Dear Father, we just pray that you would help us to be alert. Help us to be alert to our weaknesses. We know that Satan knows where those weaknesses are. Help us to be aware of Satan's purposes behind the temptation. And help us to be active in avoiding areas where we are most vulnerable, where we are weak in. I this morning just want to confess, Father, that I feel my weakness before you, but I know that you are strong and that you can help us through any temptation that befalls man. You said that your grace will be sufficient and your power will be made perfect in our weakness. So we just want to praise you and thank you for who you are this morning, Father. Thank you for giving us the victory, and that victory is available for each one of us here present today. In Jesus' name, amen.